You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, now open in Edmonton, Alberta, on St. Albert Trail, Northwest. Cody Jans and Adam Urban Trout here with you. Special co-host today, slash guest, slash goaltender. It's Connor Ingram. He's going to be joining the show here. But first, Lord Co. Auto Parts, household name across Western Canada since 1974. Lord Co. proudly Canadian owned and operated, now finally in Edmonton. Much more than just car parts. Whether you're looking for high performance parts, shop equipment, paint, body supplies, outdoor gear, whatever you need to get your RV on the road, boat on the water, Lord Co. has got you covered 7 days a week. Visit them today for an exceptional customer experience or learn more about their products and services at lordco.com. It's World Hockey Report. Snap it over to Saskatchewan. Adam Herman Trout's with us, buddy. What's going on?
Not much, man. We got a big guest today. This guy was giving me a little shit about him being bored and us being too good for him, but no, please to welcome on one of our good buddies, Connor Ingram, who's apparently bored enough he wants to come on the show, given their team got canceled again.
Yeah, another one today. This is the third time that's happened since I've been here, even.
Like, how many? You've played two games?
Yeah, I've only played two.
How'd they go?
Pardon me?
How'd they go?
Man, it was a struggle the first couple, but, I mean, the more you play, the easier it'll get. Like, I came out of treatment and then had like a week of practice, and then I got COVID, so we were shut down for 2 weeks. I was, and then the team got it again, so we missed the game, and then the team got it again today. So we're all over the place.
So you're a COVID survivor or what?
I am.
Wow. I'm a COVID
survivor.
What's the vaccine stuff like down there? Like, are you eligible?
Yeah, I am. Like, I know a lot of guys on our team have their first shot already, but I can't because you got to wait 90 days after you had it before you go get your shot.
Oh, geez. How's Chicago like with, like Milwaukee was just like, we're not on in it this year or what?
Yeah, Milwaukee, they had a private owner, so I think Wisconsin shut down a lot, too, with no fans. I think the American Hockey League's hard to make any money with any fans. Without any fans, I mean. So, yeah, they decided to take the year off, and then we joined up with Carolina here in Chicago. So, Chicago's nice. I like it here.
What a city.
It's not Rockford.
Yeah, Rock Vegas.
You got anything, Cody, or what?
Oh, I thought you were just going to keep steering the conversation here. Ings, how much gaming are you doing? I know you know Van Vols, and that guy's a nerd when it comes to games, too.
Yeah, no, I was playing with Ethan the other day. I play a lot. There's no doubt about it. The old Sonesta Suites internet isn't top notch, so that's a big struggle. But I put my time in.
How happy are you for Tanner Janot and Grosnick? We were talking about Janot last week, and he had like, I don't know, 7 points his first year in Moose Jaw. It's like, okay, this guy will go, and then he'll probably be in the SJ at 20. And then he just kept on chugging, and he scored in all three leagues this year, man.
Yeah, that guy's a man among boys. He's a unit. I'm really happy for him. He's an awesome guy. He always kind of looks out for me. I babysat his dog a couple times last year when he would go watch do stuff. So, no, I'm really happy for him. It's good to see him get a chance, and he's succeeding up there. So it's good for him. Good Saskatchewan guy.
You know Ticker, too. What's it like seeing him in Buffalo? I mean, I don't know if he caught any of those games yet, but, geez, what a comeback.
Yeah, no, I was texting Ticker the other day. I'm happy for him, too, man. That guy battled for a long time.
Yeah.
Been a couple years with just American League deals, and it's good to see him back. I mean, he never really got a full chance almost in the NHL. You know, he was in there for a little bits of time, but now you can see what he can do up there. Good for him. Another good
on a terrible team. On a terrible team.
Yeah, they seem to be struggling a little bit, but he put a couple wins together there.
Tough spot. Let's talk about our coaching experience, man. Like we coached this team this year. And it was me, you, our buddy Granner, and his dad. And like that was it was a hilarious time. Like we'd go to practice, just kind of shoot the shit, take the goalies down low, take one timers, whatever. Connor hip checked me the one time. How'd you like that stuff?
Yeah, it was fun, honestly. I mean, it was good to be out there with you guys, but it was a lot of fun actually. I enjoyed it. It gave me something to do too, like with us not playing, it was good to have something to kind of get excited for again. I don't think I actually made it to a game ever, but it was pretty fun. I did lay you out that day, totally by accident.
Yeah, we were just like...
It doesn't take much, just a nice gust of wind.
Well, yeah. Adam tried to toe-suck me, and I just blew out his knee.
Yeah. No, it was like... I just like, we were just screwing around, and then all of a sudden I just get hip checked by Connor, just kind of out of the blue, like ass over face pretty much. And yeah, that was, and then we made Granner do the hot lap for his birthday out there. So that was a good time. What was Sweden like? Like you're basically Paul Crewe out there. Hey.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I saw they're having some trouble again right now. I was talking to the goalie coach. They're in the finals there to see if they can get promoted up to the other league. And the series was 1-1. And they had, I think, 10 guys test positive today with three coaches, too. And now people over there are claiming that they were throwing these cases just to get time off and stuff like that. So I feel bad for those guys over there. It was a lot of fun. It's a really good organization. It was a nice city with really good people, and Sweden was good too. Like there wasn't much of a language barrier at all. So I think they have to take English in school. So all the younger people spoke English. The only ones that had trouble were the older people. They spoke broken English, but it wasn't too bad at all.
What was it like lifestyle wise? I don't know. Were you single over there or no?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Okay. We won't talk about that then. Next question.
It was
what a place though. What a country.
Yeah, and they were one of the ones that never really shut down anything. So it was just like normal life. Like I know when I got there, I thought it was weird that nobody had masks on or anything like that even. So
they're full into herd immunity.
Yeah, exactly. They just kind of left things the way they were. I haven't really checked in to see how they're doing with all that stuff now, if that plan really worked out for them. But yeah, no, it was pretty cool over there.
Are you able to tell the story about that guy you some notice over there? Like that was so crazy. Everybody texted me. They're like, what did Ingram do? Like, oh my God. And there's like hockey news tweets that jerk Scott Wheeler's tweeting it out. Like it's like former world junior goalie caught point shaving, which wasn't the case. Like if you can't tell it, it's fine. But
no, I can tell it. I mean, it's a crazy story. So we were up 3-0 on this in a game, and apparently like I had to get somebody to explain it to me. I'm not a big like sports better, but apparently when we were up 3-0, the the chance of, or their odds were better than when the game was 0-0, if that makes sense. And they ended up coming back and winning. And apparently during the game, like, the betting company shut it down because these odds were going weird. It was like somebody was betting a bunch of money on them to come back. So their odds were good that way, apparently. I don't know. I don't understand how it worked, but we ended up losing. And then they, like, accused our team of, like, match fixing. Like, we were in the middle of a game betting on this team to come back somehow, which was crazy, I thought, to begin with. And then all this happened. So, like, I got ahead of it. Like, I phoned Nashville. I phoned my agent. I was like, hey, this is going on. Like, I don't really know what's going to happen, whatever. And then the next day, one of the big Sweden media outlets texted our GM and was just like, hey, like, we see the stories going on. Ingram's the only guy on an NHL deal. He, like, is still over there. Like, did he have anything to do with it? And this number that they texted back and was like, yep, he already admitted to it. We cut him. We're sending him home. All this stuff. Like, he threw the game, whatever. So the Swedish media outlet put out this massive story about how, like, I was throwing games and all this stuff. So then it just created, like, a shitstorm. Like you said, like, North America got a hold of it. Like, it was terrible. And then when the story came out, our GM saw it and was like, well, what is going on? Like, no one texted me. And it came out that the media outlet, the number they texted the wrong number. So some random fan in northern Sweden just threw me under the bus, almost ended my career because they had the wrong number. So then eventually the Swedish media, like, sent me, like, a formal apology, basically just like a don't sue me letter. and they kind of got it figured out. They never really put out a story, like, clearing my name or anything, but, like, the organization was cleared of all, like, investigation and stuff like that. But, and it was a wild couple days there.
Yeah, I remember, like, seeing that. Everyone's like, oh yeah, like, this guy, clearly he needs some money, or it's like Check His Cat Friendly or something. But no, like, what's Nashville, what was Nashville like when you got back there? Everybody good and chill?
Yeah, well, like, once it kind of, like, the dust settled and, like, everybody kind of figured out that, like, I had nothing to do with it and that they got this wrong and they texted the wrong number and, like, the organization was cleared of any wrongdoing, then it was just kind of like, wow, like, this could have been so bad. But I give Nashville props. Like, they didn't make any harsh decisions, like, snap decisions right away. They kind of waited for it to get, like, the facts straight. And I mean, I was freaking out because, like, I wasn't a sports bettor and I didn't understand how it was how it worked, really. And there was nothing I could do. Like, I couldn't tell people that I didn't do it. Like, of course I didn't do it, but, like, how do you explain that to, like, a Swedish media outlet that, like, has a GM saying that I did do it? It was just a disaster for a little bit.
That's insane. That's funny. Like, two, yeah, because, like, 2 years before I was over in Czech Republic's way scummier. Like, it's a different world. But there was, like, those Russians that got caught fixing games. They were, like, betting against their team in intermissions and throwing it and stuff. So that's, I mean, I feel like that's more of an Eastern Europe thing. It happens probably on a daily basis, but
never heard that. I was amazed at, like, how many people, like, actually bet on, like, the Swedish second league.
Oh, you can bet on anything over there. Like, I mean, yeah, you can bet on, like, the Ukrainian third league. It's wild.
That blew my mind. I was like, when this story came out, I was like, who is betting on this? Like, I don't, like, can you even bet on, like, an American league game?
Yeah.
Oh, you can bet on anything now. Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, because I was like, who is watching this from, like, afar that, like, wants to put, like, and they said for the odds to switch that much, like, it had to be big money to, like, flip it like that. And the company eventually came out and said that it was their mistake, that, like, they got the odds backwards, basically, which is crazy that, like, how do you not know that before you, like, accuse an organization of throwing a game?
That's wild.
Europeans, we won't shit on them too much. Hey, who's that? Who's the other Tendy there in Nashville, the depth guy who does all the YouTube stuff? What's he like, that Finnish kid? I've always wondered. I've watched a couple of his YouTube videos.
Kaskisuo.
Yeah, I wasn't going to try pronounce that name. Not a chance.
I don't like. I've only been around him for just like a couple weeks. He seems like a really nice guy to me.
What like? What does the league care? Like, does the league actually care that he's doing all that stuff?
Nashville approves
like
his videos. I watched in the last one. It was like
okay.
It was like so the Preds just approved this like number 15 or whatever. So I'm gonna add the music and do that the rest of my day. So. I was
going to wonder, like, where's the limit with that, where it can go for, like, because if all of a sudden you're going to allow these guys to YouTube, like, Austin Matthews starts doing vlogs, he'll end the internet.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's...
I don't know where they draw the line with that stuff. I haven't watched one yet, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, we got Les Lazarek coming on to talk about the Dub. Connor, you can stay on that. Maybe he has some good Ingram stories, some good John Keane stories from your days with him and Kamloops. Just want to announce we're partnering with Player Golf, Player Athletics in Saskatoon here. Our guy Chase hooking the guys up. World Hockey RPT, 20% discount. Golf season's around the corner. This is probably the best Canadian golf brand, and you know it's growing a lot. So we'll have to send Connor some stuff. Cole Wind has some stuff. Connor fought him in Kamloops once, but yeah, we'll get back. Connor can talk to Les, but just your time in Kamloops, Connor. What was that like? You had Don Hayes, just the most grizzled vet of all time.
Yeah, the guy's a junior hockey legend. Even like for me, and he kind of just left me alone for the most part. Like he didn't worry about me. I didn't worry about him. I knew my job, and he didn't have to tell me when I wasn't doing it, kind of thing. So I really enjoyed him, honestly. Like I didn't have any problem with him.
Would you prefer coaches like don't talk to you? Would you prefer they just like, hey, you're in the net tonight? Like I don't know goalies, so like I'm not gonna mind F you.
Yeah, like most coaches that you play for now are just, especially because goalie coaches are becoming so much more common, where head coaches don't really deal with goalies anymore. Like if you got stuff to work on, you just go to the goalie coach. So it's a lot easier that way, but some coaches are more hands-on than others, that's for sure.
Cody, what are we?
Are we going to hear this like Lind Ingram fight story or what? Is this a joke? Or are we just passing over?
He didn't fight him. He just like blockered him in his crease. He has a video of it.
Oh, you just blockered a guy?
I jumped him. Yeah,
that's awesome. Did no, that in junior B too? So
yeah,
we were down big in Kamloops and he ran me.
Wow. What a loser. What a loser.
Couple of good Sasky guys. Is it commercial time, Cody?
Bring yeah, we could probably get to commercial and get to Les Lazarek, voice of the Saskatoon Blades, coming up here next. Cody Jansen, Adam Ermentrout with you. It's World Hockey Report live on 12 Ounce Sports. Junior hockey, the hot topic. No Mem Cup this year. We had to dive into it. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts, the one-stop shop for quality RV, car, truck, or marine parts and accessories. Now, our next guest, voice of the Saskatoon Blades in the Western Hockey League, brought to you by Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, family-owned Canadian company changing the hockey stick game. Pro Rock offers top-of-the-line twigs at a fraction of the cost. Not even close. I've been using them for a while now. I will never go back to one of the big companies. Pro Rock, lighter, more balanced, and at the best price point when it comes to top-of-the-line sticks. Check them out today, prorock.com. Pleased to be joined. Les Lazarek, voice of the Saskatoon Blades here with Adam Ermentrout, Connor Ingram, our special co-host Cody Jansen today. Les, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Doing good. Appreciate you taking the time here. We wanted to talk a little bit about the Dub Bub that's going on right now. We want to ask about Connor Bedard, everything to get into it. But first off, what's it been like calling these games in empty rinks here? I mean, for you, what's the setup been like? Has it been good? Seems like the Saskatchewan division's been going pretty smoothly. I mean, when it comes to the COVID issues in BC and Alberta.
Yeah, it has. I think this is the way to go, obviously. I mean, it worked for the National Hockey League very, very well. It worked for the NBA back last year. So being able to have a controlled environment is the way to go. And you take a look at some of the other places, you've got people still staying with billets. And, of course, the billet families still have their lives to lead. So they get out into the community, they see people, whatever the case may be, and they may bring home unwittingly the COVID-19 virus and pass it on to players, which then gets spread around, and next thing you know, you're shutting a team down. And of course, that's happened with teams in Kelowna and Calgary and Tri-Cities now, but here in this one, it's a pretty boring existence. I mean, Connor, can you imagine yourself, you know, living in a dorm and then going from dorm to the rink and back and not seeing anything else?
I mean, I only spent 13 days in the NHL bubble, but it would be tough. Like, I was thinking about the other day, like, especially those kids that are there, like, are they in the hotel too? Or, like, are they still in their billets? Like, there's so many kids that are in school too. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, the schooling part, of course, is all being done remotely. But, I mean, when you're Kelowna Rockets, for instance, you're staying with your billets. You're not in a hotel. But the teams that are staying in Kelowna that aren't the Rockets, like Victoria, or in Kamloops that are Vancouver and Prince George, well, they're staying in the Sandman Hotel next door to the good old Riverside Coliseum or the Sandman Center. So it's different in that respect. I think it's the teams that have the ability to be at billet places and have access and contact with more people than what the actual teams are more important. That's been the issue, I think, in the U.S. division, in the Central division as well, the Alberta division, staying with people for the most part, not just your own little group, and you've all been vaccinated, or you're not vaccinated, but you've all been tested, you've all gone through the protocols. Not everybody you're staying with is going through all the protocols.
Come on, Les. Nobody's been vaccinated yet in Canada. No, I'm just kidding. I just want to ask you, keep it local. You're the Blades radio guy. What's your thoughts on them? I know they've kind of caught a bit of the injury bug here. They started out well and have kind of cooled off. Just what are your thoughts on them? And also Colton Dock, who wasn't on much draft radar, but I saw McKenzie's list came out. He's 74.
Yeah, he's had a very good hub schedule thus far. He's shown an ability similar to his brother, not a similar player to his brother, obviously. He doesn't have the slick offensive stuff to go along that Kirby does. But what Colton does is he strips pucks very well, and he's very tenacious on pucks. And the other thing he has is an escapability out of corners to come away with the puck a lot of times. So I think that's what's been impressing people. And the fact that he will use his size and protect the puck well against the defenders who are trying to take it away from him. So he's done an excellent job in that respect to make himself climb up. The Blades could use him in the lineup. Him and Tristan Robbins and Aiden Delagrangendi, are all three of them are out together now. I mean, right there, that's 2/3 of your top line and 3/5 of your top power play unit. So that makes it difficult from a Blades perspective to get some offense going. And Mitch Love and Ryan Marsh, the coaching staff, will never use injuries as an excuse. They're just going to say, hey, we're family, it's next man up, etc. But you know yourself, and every other team here has gone through it, but the exception of Brandon, and that's why they're in first place right now. They've been able to avoid any significant injuries. The only thing that's happened to them is they've had a couple of suspensions, and that's been for just a few games. Ridley Gregg missed 3 games. Braden Schneider missed 1 game, and that's why Brandon's on top. But every team has been hit by injuries. For the Blades, the worst time for them to get the injuries is now in the stretch run where they're trying to make a push to win the division championship, and there really is a division championship to be won. Apparently there's some sort of Subway Cup that's going to be presented on April the 28th. So for the Blades, they have to be able to suck it up and hopefully maybe get Robbins and Doc back. They won't get Delagrangendi back because he is outside the hub, and as soon as you leave the hub for treatment, coming back, you're being under quarantine for another 7 days. So it's a week away from finishing this thing. So he's out. He's done, essentially. So right now the Blades can only hope that by the end of this week, they'll have both Robbins and Doc back and can find a way to win the games they need to and set up what would be an excellent, incredibly fun final day of the regular season or this hub season by taking on Brandon. That's the way this has all worked out. It's incredible. It's storybook stuff, and hopefully it turns out that way.
Okay, outside of Connor Bedard, I think Ingram will ask about him later. But, I mean, who's really stood out in the bubble? Who's really made a name for themselves, maybe climbed up the draft rankings, maybe going to earn themselves a pro contract next year just with their performance in the bubble this year?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, to me, the best player here is still Peyton Krebs, and that shouldn't come as any great surprise to anybody. But what he has shown is he's shown other dimensions to his game, and I think if you're the Vegas Golden Knights and you're Kelly McCrimmon, you're pretty excited about the fact that Peyton Krebs is not just an offensive guy. He is a total 200-foot type of a player, and in fact, when the Ice were hit with incredible injury problems on their defense, I mean, they lost 4 of their top 6 defensemen at one point, and Krebs dropped back and took a regular turn on the blue line and performed admirably. I mean, he played offensively. Yeah, Ben, you know, he was fine defensively, but then he also adds that offensive component. The first pass out of the zone you knew was going to be a good one because it was Peyton Krebs delivering it. So he, to me, has been the best player in the hub that has really stepped up and done the things necessary. Other guys, I mean, I think you take a look at some of the Brandon defensemen, I think have really stepped up and done some good things. People like Vincent Diorio, Nathan Salemi, those are guys that probably deserve a look at the professional level. You know, and they go up and down different teams' rosters. Moose Jaw's roster, interesting. I mean, Eric Alry has been very good for them. Big winger that can shoot the puck very well, has looked good. And then youngsters coming along. Denton Matejczuk's not eligible this year, but he's a 16-year-old defenseman who's just going to be outstanding and going to be a very good pro when the time comes for him to be drafted into the National Hockey League.
Connor, you want to go?
No, man. I haven't seen that Krebs kid play, but I've heard good things. How is the guy that got kind of half exceptional status last
year? Jaeger.
Forget his name. How's he?
Jaeger.
You're talking about from Moose Jaw. He's very good too. He's a different player than Bedard altogether. And of course, anytime you think about exceptional status, you think about Connor Bedard, and he's everything that you expect out of a kid that gets exceptional status. Braden Jaeger is a different player, but what he has is a speed aspect to his game, along with some size and a tremendous shot. And he's had highlight bursting around and take the corner on a defenseman, use his size to get inside position, and then shoot the puck very effectively and score goals that way. He thinks the game pretty well, so I like what I see out of Braden Jaeger. The 2005 draft class, Bantam draft class, 2005 born class, let's put it that way, from 2020, is an exceptional group because you don't just have Bedard and Braden Jaeger here in this pub, but you also have Tanner Molendijk on defense for Saskatoon, who's played well. He's probably their number five defenseman right now at age 15. Zach Benson for Winnipeg has been a guy that's jumped up and is actually on their second power play unit and is centering their third line and has produced. So, you know, those types of guys, you think to yourself, wow, this is a pretty good draft class. And then there's others around the league that are playing regularly with their teams and are showing that they are belong in the league as well at age 15, which just blows me away when I consider how many training camps I've been to in the past and how many preseason games I've watched and seen 15-year-old kids that look absolutely lost out there, and you just know that they're going to need another year of AAA midget or under-18 AAA hockey in order to be ready to play at that next level at the major junior.
So is Connor Bedard going to be the best dub player ever when he's done, or what?
Ask anyone in Regina.
Well, in Regina, they say yes. The only problem is, though, he's only going to be here for 2 years, two more after this one. I mean, he's going to be a National Hockey Leaguer at age 18, assuming, and this is an assumption that you want to make for his sake, is that he grows just a little bit more. He's a little on the smallish side, height and weight-wise, but you expect that with the kind of backing he has and the kind of way, I mean, his ability is something. And the fact that he's been able to go to Sweden and do some training there and play some games prior to this hub getting started, you know he's got some connections that will help him to make sure that he's at his top of his game as he continues on playing in his hockey career. So a kid like Bedard, I expect, will grow. He will do the training. He will become stronger. He'll become bigger. He'll be able to meld that into what he already has. And that's that innate superstar ability that is able to think 3-4 steps and or plays ahead of anybody else and go to places where you wonder, what's he doing? And then all of a sudden, there he is with the puck, and he's beating you somewhere along the line. That's what Bedard is, essentially. He's a guy that is ahead of everybody else in terms of what he sees and what he thinks, and he always seems to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, super impressive what he was able to do when he was there. But Les, thank you so much. I miss seeing you around the rink, kind of sitting by you as you do your calls, but we'll get you back on soon.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. All the best. And Connor, all the best to you moving forward as well. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks,
Les. Right there, Les Lazarick, Blades Voice on Twitter. I think he is. I think he's Blades at Blades Voice on Twitter. Yeah. Go check him out. What radio station are they on now?
They're on. I should know this. I think it's 90. It's 98. It's 98. It's the they got off the country one, so they're on the It's like a oldies one, I think. So they're on that. Connor, who is the best young guy you played against in the dub where you're just like, shit, like for 60 and this guy's something?
Oh, I don't know for 60, but I was in the league when Barzell was in the league.
Did you think he'd be this good?
I didn't think he'd be this good. You knew he was going to be really good, but you didn't know that he was going to dominate the way he did.
Yeah. No, he'd...
I went to camps with, like, Marner and Konechny, too, and, like, those are two guys that, like, you knew were really good, but the way they play at the National League level is just incredible.
Yeah. No, I remember, like, Marner kind of came on. I watched him there, and I was like, okay, this guy's not the same player he was in junior in London even, so, yeah.
Him and Matthews, the most dynamic offensive pairing.
Yeah, we have too many people from Edmonton to say that, honestly, following the show.
I always love seeing that argument. Everyone's just like, oh, McDavid, Draisaitl, or Marner Matthews. It's like, I think we can just appreciate that they both have their own skill sets, and, yeah, like, they're not the exact same type of players.
What was it like going to games this year, Connor, in Nashville? Like, you saw a lot of good teams. I remember I think it was the game before Dubois pretty much got kicked off Columbus. You texted me and you're just like, he had two shifts that he didn't even move at all. Like, what's it been like kind of seeing Carolina and all those teams?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I remember I was watching Dubois, and I was right after it came out that, like, him and Tortorella were struggling a little bit there. So you just kind of tend to iso-cam those guys, and I mean, they're guys with so much skill and so much talent that whenever they have the puck, they move. But no, it's been pretty cool. There's been a lot of guys that you see roll through there and good teams. So it was pretty fun being up there.
Yeah, I mean, what about Tolvanen? I remember we saw him last year, and he the potential's always been there. And this year, for whatever reason, the last month, it's kind of clicked for him too.
Yeah, he's been really good up there. Well, I think he set, like, the KHL rookie scoring record when he was, what, 18 or 19 there? So you knew he had it in him. It's good to see him get a chance and take it like that. There's so much skill there. You knew it was going to come out eventually.
Who's the guys in the American League this year to watch? Who's the guys that are ready to make that next step?
It's hard in the American League this year, right? Because, like, ultimately, you're...
Is it that much better with less teams? I've always wondered that, because it seems like it's been, like, throughout the minor pro depth. Like, if you watch, like, a Coast game this year, like, it's better than previous years. Is that the same way in the American League now that it's kind of less watered down, maybe?
It's a little different because, like, I've noticed it here, like, in Chicago. Like, this is my fourth year pro, and, like, I'm a veteran player on our team, like... There isn't those, like, 28, 29-year-old bubble guys that are in the AHL. You know, those are the taxi squad guys that stay up there all year. So it's different. It's a lot younger, and it's just a different league completely almost. Like, I know we have a bunch of, like, OHL kids that didn't get to play in the OHL this year, so they're playing in the American League at 18 and 19. Like, you don't normally see that in this league, so it's a lot different.
One guy I wanted to ask about, though, that German kid, that Dominic Bock, what's he like in Chicago there?
Yeah, there's a lot of skill there, too. I mean, he was saying that he was in some trade. Was he in the Justin Falk trade?
Yeah.
I think he was saying he was a St. Louis pick. So, yeah, there's a lot of skill there, too. I mean, you see these young kids that, like, ultimately would be in junior hockey. Like, we have Tomasino on our team who would be a 19-year-old in the OHL, but instead he's playing his first year in the American League. And, like, these kids fit in. You can tell they're young. It's funny watching them around the rink and the stuff they do, but it's cool to see these other guys kind of get a chance that normally they wouldn't.
It's funny. I remember, well, Jarvis was on Chicago, I think, before you got there, and he was lighting it up pretty good, actually, too. Do you kind of feel old, like, around the rink? Like, you're on your second contract, fourth year pro, and there's all these young guys around. You're kind of veteran guy.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's something that I never really experienced before where I feel older. There's a kid here that's, I think he's 18. He would be an 18-year-old in the OHL. Like, I drive him to and from the rink every day, and, like, I feel like his dad sometimes, like, he was talking about cooking his very first meal the other day and stuff like that. And I was like, man, like, I remember being that kid that had no idea what was really going on. So it's fun some ways, and other ways it just makes you laugh at like what these kids are going through. I mean, they're so young to be living on their own and doing their own thing, but you just kind of reach out and lend a hand whenever you can, I guess.
And I got one more before we hit the commercial break here. Is it weird as an attendee playing in front of no fans? Like, obviously it's going to be different, but like as a goaltender, I feel like the fans are kind of one thing that can really sway a game when you're playing all 60 minutes.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I miss the fans. I got lucky. My first game was in Iowa, and Iowa has fans. And then Grand Rapids has fans, too, in our division. So hopefully we get some more of that. I think, obviously, we play out of the practice rink here, so we don't have any fans. And Rockford doesn't have any fans either. So it's a little different. It's not near as fun or as intense, it seems like the momentum you can definitely feel when there's a crowd, but it's just the way it is right now. Like, it's been this way for a year and a bit, so you kind of getting used to it.
Is it kind of nice being a goalie though, where it's like my job's just to stop the puck? Like, I don't have to go and hit somebody to fire up the crowd or like go and scrap some, like, you're just, your job stays the same, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, our job never changes. It's just stop the puck basically, but It's definitely not the same. We're an entertainment business. Like, you want people in the stands. It makes it more enjoyable when you have a sellout crowd. It's definitely more fun than no fans. So it's different, but it's the new normal now.
All right, let's go to a commercial break here. James, well, we got more hockey stuff coming up. Connor Ingram, our special co-host today. Adam Armstrong, Cody Jansen with you. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts on 12 Ounce Sports. Well, Adam rips through a lung like it's just the day after 420. We'll get back into the
show. Dude, you sat me last. Don't act like you weren't partaking in 420.
Hey, I mean, I'm not the one ripping through a lung right now. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen, Adam Armentrout with you. Presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Learn more at lordco.com. Follow them at Lordco Parts on social media. Our third co-host for the show here. Brought to you by Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, great friends there. Weather's getting nicer. You need something to sip on while swinging the sticks, hopefully not in the snow like Adam. Lighting up the barbecue, watching the playoffs, refreshingly different Coco Vodka Rum. Coming out with new cans in Canada. I think they're already here in some places. Go check them out. Tall Boys, unreal. They're giving you more for less. Enjoy the Coco life with us. High quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. You will not be disappointed. We could probably get away from some of the hockey talk for now. We're golf guys here as well. Shout out player for hooking us up. Ings, what's the cap looking right now?
What's the cap looking like?
Your handicap.
Oh.
He was sleeping there. I woke him up.
I thought you were talking about like a salary cap. I was like, I have no idea.
He's like, I got $750 in a year. Don't worry.
Direct deposit.
Golf fit this year. I ordered a bunch of new clubs. I sold my old clubs to some chump back at home, so hopefully he's whacking them around. It's guys went today, but I called the course, and with COVID, they don't have any rentals, so I had to sit this one out.
Oof, just that's putt
with your three wood, like that guy at the Masters who snapped his putter.
Yeah,
wasn't that the guy who won?
No.
Yeah, no. It wasn't
Matsuyama. It was Siwoo Kim. It was Siwoo Kim.
Are you sure? I won't Google it. I won't fact check. You don't want to make you look stupid anymore here.
How'd your Masters pool do, Adam?
Didn't Lind win after you ripped him? That's awesome.
He won with Hideki. And then in my other one, it was me and a couple old buddies from work. And the one guy's like, I want DJ first, draft the rest of my team for him. He ended up winning. So like, we're not paying him for that since we drafted his team for him. But I was pretty disappointed. I just like can't get off the Bryson train. I'm like, okay, this year he figures it out, and then he goes and shoots a 7 over and just ruins my team. Not
7 over for Bryson is 10 over because Matt got the par 67 or whatever.
Dude, that's 12 over then. Yeah,
what a loser comment to make.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I'm golfing today. We'll see how it goes. I've played well, you know. The other day, it sucks though, man. Like, you have that one blow up hole on golf where you get a triple. You're like, damn it, if I could have just like put it together there, like, would have been a lot better. But you know, it is what it is. Connor, what do you crush on Netflix these days?
I don't know. I've been searching for something lately. I got Hulu here in the States. I like Hulu, and I'm trying to finish Homeland. I started watching that This Is a Robbery on Netflix, like the art heist one.
Did you watch Superstar?
No, I haven't seen Superstar.
Okay, it's a good comedy.
But I'm all over the place right now. I play too much COD to watch TV, I guess.
Just browsers. You said Friends was overrated, and I tweeted that out once, and I got absolutely shit on, like 30 replies, one from your brother saying tweet about hockey when it was like the middle of April last year. There's nothing going on. Like, why do you think it's overrated?
But I think it's over. It is a good show. Like, I've definitely watched it start to finish, but like, it doesn't go up there with like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or The Office or stuff that you can just watch on repeat. I find it's a one and done, you know, and people just, they get so fired up about it. I just don't see it.
Yeah, man. It's just like kind of repetitive. Like the whole, I hate Phoebe as a character, like her whole singing thing. I hate the whole like Rachel Ross break stuff. I mean, not really a show for me.
I was thinking about today. French toast is the king of breakfast food.
Oh, I had that like last week. It's solid, but you got to get like legit Texas toast.
Yeah, burning hot take, but I'm going to stand by it.
I'm a big waffle guy, though. I'll take waffles over French toast, but it's such an underrated food.
French toast, I could just eat nonstop. Banana bread French toast, knock me down and call it Susan.
OJ's.
French toast is tough to, it's tough to make, isn't it? Like, you're not making it yourself.
No, never. I'm not. No way. I'm not you trying to make mashed potatoes.
we did a cook-off last year. Me, Connor, our buddy Granner, and our buddy Mike, who's captain of the Norwich D3 hockey team, by the way.
Yeah, no big deal.
No, we did a cook-off, and I went first. I got absolutely screwed because I'm making this coconut chicken, and I was like, yeah, you guys like coconut? Connor's like, oh, yeah, like, love coconut. Bounty bars, awesome. So then... I cook or whatever. It takes me like 3 hours, put a little too much garlic in the mashed potato. I thought a clove was like the full like plant, not like just like one like little leaf of each, but did that. And then Connor was in cahoots with his girlfriend. They're like, he's like 7. She's like, yeah, probably a 7. And then Connor spent like $400 on his meal. Granner spent $400. So they kind of bought the votes, I think.
Oh, that's a lie. I bought steaks from, what's it called?
The bulk cheese
warehouse. Yeah. And then put potatoes on the barbecue. Like, I'm not going all out.
Yeah. And then Granner was like lobster. And I don't even, it got like a little ridiculous where I was like, okay, come on. No.
Lobsters. I find lobster overrated. I don't know. I'll stick by that one. Like lobster, oysters, that stuff. Just hard pass.
Connor, what's your dream meal? Like, if you're having a perfect like meal.
Oh man. See, like I might throw, I always ask this question to people. If you could have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? And like, I'm going the classic, like American breakfast, like some over easy eggs, buttered toast, sausage, hash browns,
biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. Like just keeping it straight breakfast food for the rest of my life.
Really?
Maybe it's not toast. Who knows?
No, I'm just staking those potatoes that you season. Those are, that's right out. Like, what do you eat there? Like, do you just skip the dishes 3 times a day or what?
No, I got a kitchen here.
Cereal? I don't think I've ever seen you cook outside of that one time we get a meal.
That's such a lie. I cook all the time.
Yeah.
What's your go-to cooking food then?
Man, I keep it pretty simple. Like, I go to Trader Joe's a lot, and they have, like, nice stuff that, like, you can just steam like broccoli or like, I've been eating edamame. They make you've had edamame, right?
Yeah.
Disgusting. You can buy
just the beans, and those are so good. Oh man, I'm all over the place. I'll try it all.
Dude, green food. Hey,
that's broccoli and edamame is his go-to cooking food.
So easy. So good.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Like, what's here? Here's a good question. I've always wondered this with you. What's on your pregame playlist? Because anytime I've seen you, it's been like today's country and nothing else.
Matt, so once a year, at the start of every year, I make like a playlist of just like 5 songs. And then for the rest of the year, it never changes. Let me pull up my Spotify, see what's on this year's.
It's like it's like Radio Player Canada, like 92.9 The Bull.
Yeah, honestly.
I have Starting Over, Macklemore, Hell of a View, Eric Church, Peaches by JB.
Yeah, that's a banger.
Forever After All and Other Side. Those are my 5 songs that I have on my one playlist.
Sounds like something a guy would use to hotbox his car.
That new JB song's great, though.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of credit there.
So, like, if you got the headphones in for 2 hours, are you listening to those songs, like, 17 times each?
No, so my top... Do you have Spotify where it has, like, your top 6 categories or whatever?
Yeah.
It's top country worldwide, hot country, 2010s country, daily country mix 1, and Nashville's worldwide hits.
Just any country song. You're not into like the hard rap. Like if guys like throw on rap in the dressing room, you're just not in that.
I mean, I'll listen to it, but I'm not picking it out. That's for sure.
And I'll pick it out.
Guys are just like hooking up their phone and just running Big Booty Mix every single day.
Oh, those guys are the worst.
Team DJ guy.
Just screaming radio at some rookie to change his song.
Do they still do fines in the AHL or no?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you fine guys for? What's been your latest fines?
There's not like the junior hockey stupid stuff fines, but like being late or like stuff like that. There's
like accountability stuff.
Yeah, like if like a rookie doesn't like clean the bus after something, then they'll get chalked up. But it's, I mean, times have changed for sure. Rookies got it a lot easier than 30 years ago from all the stories you hear.
Yeah.
How much money do you think the Sharks put up on the board for Marlowe there? Like, how do they blow a 2-0 lead? I mean, sorry to bring back the hockey talk, but like there had to have been a lot on the board to be like, okay, we're not going to lose Patty's game here.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of money on the board. I mean, we were playing a game the other day and we had a bunch of, like, we had like 7 guys out with like COVID close contact stuff. So we pulled up a bunch of guys from like the East Coast League and like college guys on PTOs and stuff. And even in the American League, there was definitely some money on the board just for those guys even.
Did you have to put any up for your first game back?
Yeah, I always do, kind of. I always throw like, I'll put up like a new pair of like Nike shoes for the game winner and stuff like that. But you definitely see it up there. There's a lot of money up there for trainers too, which is nice for those guys if they win. Sometimes they can throw a little money in their pocket.
Yeah, it's nice to see. Those guys are like the hardest working guys. They just like got their pullout coach they sleep on at their rink from like 1995.
Those guys are unsung heroes, man.
Do you guys have a decent setup at the practice rink or what? Like every time I see like American League games there, I'm like, what? Like, what's their actual setup? Like, are they just like renovating all the practice dressing rooms? It's like a player's lounge or what?
No, so in Chicago here, I think they only go to Allstate for games. So their practice facility here is really nice because I think that's where they spend 95% of their time. So it's a really nice setup. Like they have a real room and it's got everything you need. It's nice here.
Do you miss Milwaukee at all?
Yeah, of course I miss Milwaukee. I love the place. It was a lot of fun. I like Milwaukee a lot too. Like out of the cities I've been in, that's definitely right up there. That and Orlando. I loved Orlando too.
You had a sick place there too, like right on the river, like not super expensive. And then you could go to like Bucks games and stuff for free.
Yeah, exactly. Our owner hooked us up with Bucks. And then I think if you're there during like normal baseball season, you get to go to the baseball games too. So I went to the Monday Nighter in Green Bay last year. It's a pretty cool spot. It's not a very big place, but it's got everything you need.
A little bit like Saskatchewan, honestly.
Yeah, you might be Giannis out and about every now and then.
There's no way Chicago's not better than like Milwaukee and those places, though. Chicago's unreal.
You're not in Chicago, though, are you?
We're not.
Well, yeah, I guess you're not like right down, but.
Yeah, like downtown Chicago is probably an hour from where I am.
Yeah. That's what a place though. Like it's got like the beach. I mean, it's got everything. Unreal downtown, some of the best food in America. Great golf courses, great sports.
And do you work for the city of Chicago?
I'm just saying, it's unreal.
People say that about Toronto too, and I don't have good things to say. It's kind of the same thing. Like, I guess growing up in a small town, I don't really like cities or like the big downtown or anything like that. So,
what's your favorite road city?
Favorite road city? Oh man,
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg was a lot of fun, honestly.
Yeah.
I enjoy Winnipeg. I love
just because, like, the Office, Michael Scott goes on his little international trip to Winnipeg.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of really good ones. I mean, depends what league you're in. Like, South Carolina's awesome in the East Coast League. Charleston. There's a bunch of really cool ones. Like, I like, even Florida's nice. Like,
you go to Virginia Beach. Play Norfolk.
I've never been to Norfolk, but people say that one's nice too. St. John's was a lot of fun when it was around. There's some good spots out there.
Here we got our wraps, and I want to get you out on this. How much did it mean to you to sign that contract? I know, like, you know, you were kind of like, I don't want to say worried about it, but it's nice to have that security for sure, I bet.
Yeah, it's definitely nice. Were you at my house when that happened?
No, that was during COVID. You texted me.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool to see that happen. It's good to have a little security, and it's good to know that you're kind of in their plan still, which is always hard in this profession. You never really know what's going on, but it's good. I love Nashville. I love Milwaukee. Even in Chicago here, it's good. So excited for it.
You'll be up there soon enough, rocking them. Well, they're buzzing right now, but no, hopefully things go well for you in the American League. Appreciate you hopping on here. We got to wrap it up. Quack Stats, of course, go check them out. Most advanced player tracking technology. Not going to bench anyone today. We'll be nice.
Here we go. We got to bench one person.
Okay, who are you going to bench?
Doug Ford and the Ontario government for being the only place in the world to cancel golf.
Yeah, that's an easy bench for Quack Stats there. Better than I, of course, go to mybookie.ag, pump in promo code 120ZSports, and the Hockey Podcast Network. Don't forget, teamed up with them to produce the pod. Download, rate, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network. Adam, any last closing thoughts? Ings, you got anything?
Nah, shout out to Player Golf. Use our code WorldHockeyRPT for 20% off. Awesome golf stuff. He's getting more into athletics and hockey stuff. Maybe we do some World Hockey Report logo stuff, but no, excited for that.
Ingram, can you confirm you're coming to our golf tournament this summer?
There's one. I'll be there.
Okay, done deal. That's it. World Hockey Report, Tony Jansen. Yeah, we haven't picked a date, a course, any of that, but you know, we're having one, so locked in. Okay, for Cody, Adam, Jeff Beck, James Sutherland, our producer. Till next week, everyone, be kind, be better.
World Hockey Report is presented by Lordco Auto Parts, Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, Coco Vodka and Coco Rum, and Quack Stats.